listening to the Mouthful of Graffiti podcast. The Mog, not to be mistaken for John Candy's half-man, half-dog character from 1987 Spaceballs, is a mouthpiece for Mid-Atlantic creatives. I'm your host, Brad Cox, the Mog Father, a name affectionately coined and given to me by conversations with Rich Bennett, and I'm here to let you into the Mog House. Let's see who and what we're chewing on today on the Mog. The Mog, podcasting from Underground Studios, aims to be an all-inclusive, all-things creative networking megaphone, and with the amount of talent we have in our own backyard, I don't know that we'll ever have a shortage of good content and rich stories to tell. Everyone has a story that's uniquely their own, and it's the Mog's mission to unearth it. The Mouthful of Graffiti podcast started as a seed and couldn't have grown without the support of those who sponsored us along the way. We'd like to thank Musicland, Reb Records, Capricos Books, The Gone But Never Forgotten Black Eyed Susies, Vagabond Sandwich Company, Double Groove Brewing, and the Baltimore Decal Gal. Don't forget to use discount code MOGPOD for a 10% discount at Capricos Books. Everyone knows you can't stop by Main Street Bel Air without grabbing some fresh new wax at Reb Records, followed by a delicious lunch at Vagabond Sandwich Company. While you're in town, swing by Musicland for the latest in gear and rentals or a relaxing pint at Double Groove Brewing. Rumors, a Fleetwood Mac tribute is coming to the APG FCU Arena on December 1st. Fans from across the nation claim that Rumors is the band to see if you're looking for an authentic recreation of live Fleetwood Mac shows. Tickets are available at HartfordEvents.com. Just announced, the Phoenix Festival Theater is bringing the Sound of Music to Hartford Community College's Amos Center this September. Directed by Kathy Concord, this musical classic set in the 1930s is sure to be a treat for Hartford County and beyond. For tickets, visit HartfordEvents.com. Finally, Voyage, the ultimate journey tribute band, is set to touch down in Bel Air, Maryland on September 9th at 8 p.m. at the APG FCU Arena. Tickets are starting at $25. Visit HartfordEvents.com. Whether he's sweetening up the room with his pineapple band or jazzing things up with the Cardinal Pursuit, one thing is for certain, Cooper Wade has a magnetism that can't be ignored. He's a young singer-songwriter and guitarist with a passion for classic rock, smooth rhythms, and apparently collective fruit. You aren't likely to find him in the produce aisle of your local grocery store, but you can find him at just about any club or bar in the Hartford or surrounding counties. He instantly caught my ear at the Vagabond Sandwich Company open mic, and I had to get him on. Join me in welcoming Mike Patton's illegitimate son, Cooper Wade. Cooper, welcome to the Mouthful of Pineapples podcast. How are you doing this fine Sunday morning?
I'm doing good, my friend.
And where are you coming from?
Well, I'm coming from my home in Bel Air.
Okay, so not a far drive at all.
No, not at all.
We have to get you in and out today. So you've got a show coming up in Chesapeake City, if I understand it. Where are you playing today?
The Pineapple Band's playing at Schaefer's Canal House. It's our debut there.
Now, is that over the bridge in Chesapeake City, or is it just outside of Chesapeake City?
I think it's like right in town there. I've never been there yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, so you're right on the water.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be nice.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful day. We've had like a beautiful weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
Fair to say that Wade Construction is going to be giving you the day off tomorrow.
And Wade Contractors, yeah. Well, actually, so I was working for my dad's company, Wade Contractors, shout out. And I was doing that for a year as well as gigging full time. But my little brother just graduated, so I gave him my spot, and I'm doing just music right now.
So do we need to give a shout out then to Papa Wade and Mama Wade and all that?
Shout out to Kurt Wade.
So it's
Wade
Contractor, not Construction.
Yeah, Wade Contractor.
I feel like it said Construction. Maybe I was just looking at it really quick on Facebook. What are you doing? You said you were doing some contractual work there. Like, would you fix my deck? Deck is falling apart.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Would you be the guy I would go to get a price on that?
I would send you to my dad. Yeah, he'd give you a better idea.
I try to do some research for you. Okay, but your Facebook profile is relatively barren. Mm-hmm. So are you a private person when you're not on the stage for the most part? Or is that just the way your profile happens to be?
I like to make myself be kind of a mystery in ways.
Okay. An enigmatic creature in the landscape of local music?
Yeah, I kind of like the idea where...
A pineapple?
Yeah, I'm just the pineapple guy.
I didn't find you on LinkedIn, so is it safe to say you are making pretty good money playing these gigs with the Pineapple Band?
Yeah, it's going really well. Yeah, it's paying the bills.
The solo gigs are probably about $200, $250, mm-hmm. right? How about like the full band?
If we're providing sound, probably like maybe like $1,200.
Okay, that's not bad.
That's usually the standard for right now.
Yeah, I mean, if you're providing the sound, that's saving them at least $200, $300 right there.
Yeah.
All right, so Pineapple Band.
Yep.
Why pineapples? Seems a bit random. I don't know if you're a SpongeBob guy or like where this started, but
before I was gigging and stuff, I was a barback and a bartender at a few bars in the city.
How old are you?
I'm 25. But
that seems impossible.
Yeah, I started working behind the bar when I was 17, actually.
Is that legal?
In Cecil County, it is, yeah.
Okay, they do things different up there.
Yeah, that's where I started. I started Lee's Landing over there, and then I made my way to the city. But so my saxophone player, Ryan Currier, he's one of the founding guys of Pineapple Band. We worked together at this place. It's no longer open, but it was called Raw Bar. It was right behind like the Tindico Apartments in Canton. Mm-hmm. And so it's like this old tin factory, and there's like this big chimney. If you look, you can see this big chimney, and at the bottom of the chimney is like a walk-in fridge. So they turned it into like a walk-in fridge.
Interesting.
And like the floors are like not stable at all. And they had like shelves of just like, you know, like beer and all that. And there's a shelf with these big tin cans of pineapple juice. And I'm just sitting in there just like, you know, joking around, talking to Ryan. And all of a sudden these big cans of pineapple juice just start coming off the shelf, like almost like knocked me out.
Oh, damn.
I was like,
was there a catalyst for this? Or they saw you and they realized you're the pineapple king.
Well, so
they just jumped towards you.
So at the time, Ryan and I were trying to find like a good band name. And then he said, Pineapple Avalanche. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. So we stuck with that.
And that could be anything, right? That could be any style of music.
Right. And then season 2 Stranger Things just came out. So we started calling ourselves Pineapple Nancy because Nancy from Stranger Things.
Okay.
And then it just became Pineapple Band. And we stuck with that.
The thing about the pineapple is, I was thinking about this morning, there's all kinds of sugary candies that, you know, you got strawberry, lime, mm-hmm. all these different flavors, but the pineapple, it never makes an appearance.
Yeah,
and I think that's a little bit weird. Yeah. It's unfair to the pineapple because the pineapple is undoubtedly the best tasting fruit that we have.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Someone did hand me a pineapple lollipop the other day, though. I held on to that. So,
it is weird, though, because independent candy or even like a lollipop, it seems like it would be kind of gross.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is this your first real podcast interview?
Yeah, this is my first like real interview, I guess.
Really? You haven't done like Part-Time Rockstar or any of the other ones?
Mm-mm.
All right. Well, we talked prior to the show. Definitely reach out to Schwab on Ocean 98. That'd be a good opportunity. It's not a podcast, but it is an opportunity to maybe get up there and play some acoustic stuff.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And another guy, we probably should have Dylan Graveris in because he's a really like social guy.
Yeah, he's
he was one of those guys. I ran into him at Wawa and he's like, "Hey, man, are you Brad?" I'm like, "Yeah, who are you?" He's like, "I'm Dylan Graveris." I'm like, "All right, very good." Unfortunately, Dylan's not here. We will tag him into the episode. As I mentioned in the introduction, I met you at the Vagabond Sandwich Company open mic, and I didn't know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea. You could have got up there and just did like country chords, or you could have got up there and did jazz songs. You could have done covers or originals, and you did a couple cover songs, but definitely in your way.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do open mics a lot when you're already performing as much as you are?
Yeah, I do. Whatever gets me out of the house, you know, on like a weekday, you know, when I'm not doing anything. Yeah, sure. I'll go out, play an open mic, hang out with people, you know.
And that was a pretty loose format, but you also have an open mic.
Yeah, yeah. I host an open mic at the Main Street Tower. It's pretty late. It starts at 9, but when we have a full drum kit and amps all ready to go, so you can bring your bands in. All ages until like 10:30. We got some really talented, like younger bands that come in every week, so it's cool.
That was the thing I noticed. Have you done the Sean Ballins open mic yet?
Mm-hmm.
I actually walked in there to look for people to be on the podcast, and I had my guitar with me, and I was like, I'm going to play a couple songs if you don't mind. It was B-Tags was running it.
Right.
And I kind of settled in. I was watching the different performers. I was like, all these guys are like really, really good. You had Ryan Betts.
Yeah.
Great bluesy kind of sound.
Yeah, awesome.
B-Tags is kind of in that vein, but he's also got his own thing going on. He's great.
Mm-hmm.
Who else was there? I don't know, but the point is that there's just a lot of local talent.
Harford County's got a lot of talent, even like other than open mic, you know. I mean, I see a lot of talent of people that come to open mic, but like there's some people that don't go to open mic that are also like amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's awesome. I'm very blessed to have that position at the Tower, you know.
And it almost seems like some of these cats like Ryan and Matt, I know they have their own bands,
mm-hmm.
but like they should be booking themselves like solo at this point, like mm-hmm. Catbone.
Yeah, he's been trying going at it. Like there was one time I was playing at Bushmill Tavern and he he walked in. He was going to talk to the manager, I guess, to book some gigs. And I was telling him, I think he talked about it when he was on here. Because when I was just starting off with the band, nobody really knew about us. So we'd all go around, wear these matching pineapple shirts, like four of us. And we go to all these different bars and just with our business cards and just try to make an impression that way. You know, and obviously
you'll be remembered, right?
Right, exactly. And nobody called us back, but they're never going to forget those guys wearing the matching pineapple shirts and business cards.
And they'd be missing out because you are so incredibly talented. You're 25 years old. You're doing what a lot of people are never able to do.
Yeah, it's awesome.
We're going to get into your background and everything, but I just wanted to kind of throw that at you. All right, I'm going to read the news real quick, and then we'll get into the meat of this thing. Transcendent Events is bringing StellarCon back to the APG FCU Arena on October 7th and 8th. You can get your tickets at stellar-con.com. Are you a comic book enthusiast yourself?
No, I am not.
You're not. You just don't know that world at all.
No.
It just seemed like a fair piggyback question, but all right. Rapala Entertainment has Frankenfest Day 2 coming to Zen West on October 21st. I think it's safe to assume there's probably a Day 1, but I can't find it anywhere on the Rapala Entertainment site. Frankenfest will feature Echo to Locate, Distance to Dawn, Prism Waves, and a lot more. And to stay in chronological order, we've got Feed the Scene, bringing Make War, Good Friends, Subtastics, and more coming to the Waverly Brewing Company on October 23rd. And finally, be the first to message me the words Recooper to win a $25 gift card to the Baltimore Decal Gal, which is your unofficial label name.
Yeah, it's I used to be into filmmaking, and so I have a YouTube channel called it's Recoup Re.
Right.
Yeah, and it's so I used
which
to make...
was irritating me because I was like, did you spell it wrong on his Spotify?
I made that when I was like 8 years old.
Right.
But we'd make like videos every week, and that was a thing.
All right, so we always do the fun questions. You probably know that because you've listened to the show. So, pineapples on pizza, yes or no?
No.
Fantastic answer. You're allowed to stay for the rest of the interview at this point. And I know Rachel Novak's probably listening. She says yes. She is really intuitive. She's smart. She's right about a lot of things.
For sure.
But she is absolutely wrong about pineapples on pizza. It's just, you wouldn't put a kiwi on a pizza.
No.
Or bananas.
Right.
It doesn't make any goddamn sense. Speaking of Rachel, she was talking to me about your tortoise. You have a tortoise. I'm going to need a name.
Her name is Squirt, like Squirt from Finding Nemo.
Love it.
Even though it's a turtle, not a tortoise.
Okay, it's a turtle.
It's a tortoise, but Squirt is a turtle.
Okay,
from the movie Finding Nemo.
Fair enough. Okay, so how long have you had her then?
10 plus years. We had her when she was like the size of a little tennis ball. Now she's like, I'd say she's like almost bowling ball size.
Yeah, that's enormous.
Yeah.
Does it maybe keep you up at night knowing that she'll probably outlive you?
I think it's awesome. You know, she's
they got a lifespan of like 300 years.
Yeah. Yeah. She's a sweetheart too. She's kind of, we just let her like hang out in the backyard. We had a party. I throw like an annual party every year in August.
For her?
Not for her.
But it could be a party for her.
It could be.
A pineapple band party.
And she's a mascot. Yeah. But she's just kind of roaming around the backyard, and everyone's like,
"This is all going to turn into like a Guns N' Roses story, where it's like your band name is going to somehow morph into like pineapples and tortoises."
Yeah. We were thinking about like starting to like, even though we're called Pineapple Band, we brand ourselves as a different fruit. Like we all go to a gig wearing banana shirts, but we're actually the Pineapple Band.
You could do that, or each member could have their own thing. Like this is the banana guy.
Right.
But then you could become like conflated with Fruit of the Loom or something like that.
Fruit salad stuff going on.
All right. So dogs and cats, you know, speaking of pets, they can be relatively affectionate. Talk to me about the tortoise. How does she show you that she loves you?
She's like a big people person as it is. So like
really?
You can like stand like one side of the room, you just like whistle at her and just kind of make her way slowly towards you.
3 hours later, she arrives. So I brought up SpongeBob in the beginning. Who on that show, which character do you feel like you would most identify with? Patrick Starr, Squidward, Plankton, Mr. Krabs?
I guess a mix of like Patrick Starr and Squidward.
Did you know he had a last name? He had a last name.
Squidward?
No, Patrick Starr.
Oh, Starr has his last name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
I knew that, yeah.
I didn't know that. I guess it would make sense. He's a starfish, but I didn't know that. What were some of your favorite cartoons growing up?
Definitely SpongeBob. I just been rewatching it. just because there's just like so much humor, even for adults, like you would never pick up on unless you like rewatch it as like an adult. Because I grew up watching it as a kid.
That's kind of the way the Muppets were. Like yeah. You go back and watch them, like that's not appropriate for children, but it was going to go right over the kids' heads anyway.
I know.
Yeah.
Definitely SpongeBob. Cartoon wise, I mean, Rick and Morty is always great.
How about Adventure Time?
Adventure Time was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Definitely an interesting humor. I like, I love like really stupid humor. You know, that's why I love SpongeBob, because there's just so much dumb stuff, you know, and same thing with Adventure Time. It's just like, there's some stupid stuff that they say or do, and I love it.
Now, I know these are a little bit older, but speaking of stupid humor, did you ever get into any of those Zucker Brothers movies, like Airplane, Naked Gun?
Yeah. I love Airplane.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about favorite local restaurants? I did see on your page that you happen to like Backfin Blues, Basta Pasta, 510 Johnny's, places like that, but...
Yeah, they're pretty cool. Those are some places I played at when I was like just starting off. Yeah.
Basta Pasta?
Yeah, well, yeah, they called, well, it was my cousin's girlfriend's friend.
It was a meatball band.
Her family is like one of the owners, so like they reached out to me and played a couple gigs there out in their parking lot. It was interesting.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
So you're out there by like the feed store and the True Value.
I literally had my own like reserved parking spot and I just set up and
and you were just playing, actually, speaking of playing in parking lots, you were at, what is it, the Farmer's Market yesterday?
Yeah, the Bel Air Farmer's Market, yep.
So when you prepare for a set like that, do you do any original songs, or is it strictly?
Yeah. There's only like a select amount of original songs that I can play on my own. Some of them I just feel like need more people. But there's like two or three that I'll whip out sometimes. One of them that's never been released. But like some of them like... One, more difficult to play and sing,
right.
And also it just would feel empty with that, like maybe like some of the horn sections.
You don't shy away from complex chords or anything like that.
No, I love harmony.
Yeah. In the vein of fun questions, before we get into the background, favorite Netflix series other than Stranger Things, which you brought up, but what other ones?
I just finished watching Mindhunters, which is pretty cool.
So good.
Yeah, I just finished that.
The guy who played Charles Manson was badass.
Yeah.
Like I would swear that was Charles Manson.
They had some excellent performances. Everybody who played all like the serial killers and stuff were really, really impressive. And one of my favorite directors, he directed a good bit of those episodes, David Fincher, same guy that did Seven and Zodiac and all that.
Perfect and, fit.
He did what's it called? Fight Club too.
Okay.
Same director. It's not a series, but I really enjoyed watching the hatchet wielding hitchhiker documentary. I thought that was
interesting. Oh my God. That story started like one place. And it ended in a completely different place.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he was going to be a psychopath in the end.
Yeah. Well, part of it, I feel like he also deserves some like justice. Like, I mean, what he did, like, obviously, like, was pretty bad. He overdid it. But I feel like he should have like went to like a mental hospital or something. I don't think he should have like went to jail. I think like, you know, what happened to him, you know, like he the guy should have gotten beat up, but not beat up as he beat him up. But it is a crazy story, you know, because he got famous from, news interview, and then people started to learn more about him.
All right, if you don't want a spoiler, don't listen to the next couple seconds here. But didn't he murder somebody at the end?
He brutally like beat some old guy up to death. But it seems evident that the guy like molested him, and he had some history with that, and so he was kind of taking out some trauma on him, I think.
He actually has a YouTube channel, and he, you know, kind of like you were saying, like justice for him because he's telling his story. Yeah. What I find interesting actually is that they can even have access to the internet or YouTube in prison.
Mm-hmm.
It would seem like you would be just completely isolated from the outside world, but he does videos all the time.
Yeah.
I forget how he does them. You know what it is? I think he does his visitation. Somebody records his visitation, and then he dictates through the visitation mic what he wants to communicate, and then somebody else makes the video.
Gotcha. Huh.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully none of us are ever in that situation, but this question typically gets us into some weird zones. I'm hoping it gets us someplace weird, but are you into any conspiracy theories? I asked this to Ryan Betts, and I'm hoping that there's one that really resonates with you, like, you know, Hollow Moon, did we land on the moon, any of that stuff.
So I don't know if you consider it a conspiracy theory or not. It's like nothing too serious, but I do believe in the Pixar theory, which
is
it's pretty much all the Pixar movies are actually connected, and there's like a timeline to it. Like, for example, like, have you ever seen WALL-E and, and Bug's Life?
Mm-hmm.
So Bug's Life takes place after WALL-E, and like the Tree of Life is the tree that they plant in WALL-E and all that. And, so like, there's like,
so there's symbolism like interlaced in the movies.
Right. Well, like literally the tree that they plant at the end of WALL-E is the Tree of Life in Bug's Life. So Bug's Life takes place after WALL-E, you know, so there's a whole timeline of where those movies take place. And there's a lot of evidence to where it definitely seems like it could be true. Or if you see like the movie Brave, there's like there's a character in that movie. It's like it's this witch and she like lives in this house and like, you know, you open the door and she's in there, and then you close the door and like no, like the whole room's clear, and you start, and then you start to connect the dots. It turns out she's actually Boo from Monsters Inc., and she's actually traveling through like time and like space through the doors.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So has anybody actually brought this to Pixar's attention? Like, this isn't like a leap. This is actually kind of things that are identifiable.
I'm sure Pixar is aware of it. I haven't read anything about them saying anything about it, but there was a whole like,
well, now they're going to do it.
Yeah. There's a whole, like, five-page article I read. I forget the guy's name, but it's, I don't know. It just, when I spent a lot of time reading it, I'm like, this actually makes sense.
I mean, it would make sense. You have to think, like, every single scene in those movies, the detail they're putting into it is immense.
Mm-hmm.
So what would be, it wouldn't be a leap to say, well, while we've been thinking about this scene for the past hour, which is, like, 2 seconds long, let's throw a little, you know, Easter egg in there.
Yeah, and they throw a lot of Easter eggs in there, like you know, like like the there would be like a carving of like the Pizza Planet truck, you know, like in the movie Brave, or like you see like the beach ball that you see in like their like the lamp kind of picture, or like the opening thing with the lamp like jumping on the ball, like that'll be in like a scene or something. They throw a lot of props in there.
All right, guilty pleasure artists.
I guess just because it's not like my style, but like I really like Queen Irby.
Queen Irby?
She's like a female, like kind of like soul, like rap artist. And okay. She just has a great, great feel for that.
Do you cover any of it?
No, I wish. That'd be funny if I did.
You definitely should.
But right. I love Queen Irby.
So I'm just going to send people to your shows to request Queen Irby until you finally play something. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
What is one thing that nobody knows about Cooper Wade? Like, can you juggle? Can you spin plates?
I guess I would say I don't really tell people a lot about like the whole filmmaking thing. You know, that's like a whole it's a whole other side of me that I have a lot of passion in. I just it's easier to be successful, and I've just put a lot more time and passion into the music thing. Yeah. But I have a lot of passion towards like making films, and I've written like a couple like sort of like screenplays and stuff.
I had no idea.
It just takes a lot. Yet, but just with filming, it takes a lot more work and investment.
Where can people find it?
So I haven't made anything too serious, but obviously my YouTube channel, Recoup Re, it's a lot of like dumb stuff. Like when I made those, I'd make them all in a day. I'd have an idea, and then we just kind of go from there throughout the day and see where it turns out. But I have some really cool stories that I've written, but it just require, you know, a lot of money and people's time and a lot of
resources,
my time.
Yeah, locations.
Yeah, so the music thing is just, I guess, more accessible for me, right. And I'm already kind of like fairly successful doing it right now, so I'm doing that. But I definitely want to get back to doing like the filmmaking thing again at some point.
Yeah, I mean, it can be very difficult when you have multiple passions to kind of split yourself. Music was always my thing. And then I started getting into writing books, and it's like, well, you can't write books and really focus on the music as much, and you can't do podcasts. So like everything kind of has its place. So there may be a point where you pump the brakes and kind of do the film.
Right. Yeah. I have a philosophy of trying not to overwhelm myself.
Yeah.
You know,
which we in this culture with feeling like we have the need to put content out all the time, we can overwhelm ourselves, and that can be a trap in and of itself.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I kind of like left my day job, like, because I did it for, I worked at my day job and then did music full time for like a year and a half. And like, I did it because I'm young and have the stamina. But at the same time, like, I'm young, I'd like to like live my life while I'm young. And like, I've been so booked out that the gigs, the job security is kind of already there. So I just kind of decided to try it out. But definitely, you know, especially now, I just want to, you know, do my thing and stay relaxed for the most part.
Yeah, I think you're going to be booked for quite a bit going into the future. So let's talk about your background. Where did it all start for you? Like some of those early records or...
So it actually all falls down to the movie thing. So before I was ever into like performing music, I was, like I said, into filmmaking and stuff. And I was into like, I was like a fanatic. I would watch a lot of old films and stuff like that. And I really liked the idea of like applying a, you know, like just like music on the radio or whatever to a film. So I used to, when I used to listen to music, I would actually hear music and then like imagine how like I would apply it to like a movie scene or something. And so that's how I used to listen to it. And I really kind of like mainly like to apply like older style music, like 50s, 60s, 70s, and like imagine like how that vibe would apply to like a movie scene. So that's how I started listening to music.
It's very interesting because your music is a bit theatrical, it is a bit jazzy, and it's not what I think anybody would expect. It's really, really creative. If that's kind of the impetus for why you're doing it, that lends a little bit of color to the picture.
Yeah, yeah. With my music, I try to write stories lyrically. Usually that's what it is. It's just me writing stories and adding a musical vibe to it.
Were your parents really into music? Or are they into what you're doing now?
Not really. A lot of people thought that my parents introduced me to my music taste, but really it was just...
A lot of parents do.
Yeah, really it was just me kind of like discovering it myself and then just kind of like saving the music and then, you know, just listening to it more and more. And I really got into like older music when I was 12, 13 and just kind of kept digging it.
I know we talked at open mic and you were saying you were self-taught.
Yeah, so I started actually learning guitar when I was like 15. My great aunt sent me a guitar when I was like 12. I didn't really actually pick it up until I was 15. And really what inspired me to actually do it is I was in like my homeroom class in high school and my buddy Trevor Turkin was just playing guitar in homeroom. And I just was like, that'd be pretty cool to do,
you know?
And I like had a dream of myself like older, just like jamming on electric guitar by myself. That dream would just kind of is what really inspired me to keep doing it.
So when you say you had a dream, was it a mental thought or was it an actual dream?
It was more like, I guess, like a fantasy of me just kind of like, you know, just older, just sitting on a stool, just jamming on an electric guitar, just vibing out.
You're just like, I'm going to do this.
Yeah, I just thought that was cool. You know, it wasn't even any like, there wasn't really a huge ambition to it. It was just like, I'd really want to like be able to do that. And then it just kind of went from there.
You're self-taught, but then at any point did you join jazz improv? Did you go to Musicland and work with Vince or any of the instructors there? Or?
No, I took like one, when I just started, I took like a lesson every week for like 1 month. And then the guy, he introduced me to like chords and like, you know, the idea of like playing in like keys and scales. And then just with that idea, you know, I knew where to start. And then just kind of would look up backing tracks or like, I have that Ultimate Guitar Tabs app and I would just be like, oh, I want to learn this song today and pull it up on my phone. And then I just like learn it and play it. And, you know, I'd just be at the beach and be like, you know what? I'm bored. I'm gonna pick up guitar and just learn a song.
But for a self-taught guy, I mean, you've picked up things that a lot of people do go to classes for, like the jazzier chords really do stand out and it separates you from the other guys too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it came down to me just like wanting to just like learn songs like off my phone for the heck of it. And then like a lot of these backing tracks on YouTube, they'll have the chord charts on there.
Okay.
And you know, I try to challenge myself with like faster or like, you know, like jazz backing tracks and solo onto it and understand what they're doing. And then, and it's easy to understand what they're doing if you know what chords they're playing. So I'd learn the chords and different voicings and then be able to solo maybe like on top of that chord change or whatever and hear what's going on. Because I took the only music class I ever took was music theory in high school.
I was going to ask about theory.
Yeah, I took music theory in high school and then one in HCC and I was terrible. I was really bad at it. But I was introduced to ideas and then I actually like applied it, you know, after school to my guitar. And actually like once I applied it, it actually finally all made sense. Once I like apply it to my instrument, you know, it finally hit and I understood it a lot better. I feel like I just need to really hear it to get it, you know?
Yeah. Any other instruments you've picked up along the way? I know you play the bass. I know you sing and play the guitar, but what else?
I play a little bit of piano, not a lot. I can play trumpet.
Well, that's the great thing about theory with the piano. You know how to build chords.
Mm-hmm.
So you can always do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said trumpet?
Yeah, I picked the same reason why I started playing guitar, to kind of fantasize me playing a trumpet and jamming out. And so I learned trumpet.
When did you learn the trumpet? Was this after the guitar?
Yeah, this was like maybe three or four years ago.
Interesting jump.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just like I imagined
usually
myself
people
doing
start
it.
On like one of those like brass or wind instruments, and then they get to like high school, like, I want to play the guitar.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
but actually, I approached trumpet from a guitarist perspective. You know, I learned everything as if it was concert key, because a lot of horn players, they'll imagine it in like their key. You know, like a B flat is like written as like C. You know, for like a B flat trumpet player. But I imagine it like when I'd be like playing with bands and stuff. Like I played trumpet a little bit with Never Ending Fall for a couple of shows, and I'd just be like, what's the concert key? I wouldn't ask, you know, I wouldn't even transpose it to like a trumpet key. It's just like, I'd always imagined as if like I was a guitar player playing trumpet, because that's exactly what it was.
Are there any instruments that intimidate you?
I guess drums.
Like, you're surrounded with sax players. Like, to me, the saxophone's kind of like,
Yeah. Yeah, no, the sax is awesome. I think trumpet's a little more difficult, but it's also different. Really, I think intimidating-wise is drums. I mean, I can play drums. I can hold it down. I'm not as good. I don't have as much control with my feet, but I'm definitely intimidated with, a lot of the drummers that I'm surrounded by. You know, it's like I feel like I shouldn't even play drums in front of them, because it's like, what's the point? You know?
So tell me about your transition into singing then, because you're a great singer. I feel like the trumpet would actually help in that, and teaching you like breathing, rhythm, and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I was singing before trumpet. It used to be in like plays and stuff and like musicals, and I would like, you know, sing for those.
You are a dynamic character, Cooper.
Yeah, something like that.
So tell me about the plays. I work at Hartford Community College, Hartford Dance Theater, Phoenix Festival Theater. All those people are always coming in. Were you a part of any of those?
No, it was, I did like some summer camps and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, I was in Aladdin, Annie, Into the Woods.
Nice. Into the Woods. Oh my God.
My favorite one was Sweeney Todd.
Okay.
That was a good one. And then I did Beauty and the Beast. You know, I was in High School Musical as well. I was Ryan in High School Musical.
Okay. Nice. Any first bands you want to give a shout out to from high school? Like before there was ever a pineapple band, was there the strawberry band, or the kiwi band?
Well, pineapple band was actually my first band.
Okay.
But my first original band was actually how I met Dylan Graveras, and it was a sort of like I guess you could say like a pop punk kind of band called Padded Walls, and that's kind of how I, you know, really met Dylan and got to know him. But that was cool. It lasted until like 2020. We played like soundstage and stuff, released an album.
So other than Queen Irby, talk to me about your influences.
Because
you play a lot of like Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
You were playing Band on the Run the other day.
Like, yeah. Biggest inspirations, I'd say, is Steely Dan, Alt J, Billy Joel, Hall & Oates.
You can definitely hear the Steely Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say Daryl Hall and Billy Joel are some of my biggest vocal inspirations.
Who introduced you to this music? You're only 25.
The radio and watching movies, you know, like Quentin Tarantino movies. He's got great, you
That's
know,
true.
Great music, you know, on that. And just, yeah, pretty much just like watching movies and listening to the radio. It just kind of opened my mind up to like older music.
You got a favorite Tarantino flick?
I'd definitely say, I just really love the style of Pulp Fiction and how it's like out of order. You know, that's the kind of like movie I would like to make.
You know what the thing about Pulp Fiction is, and it is one of my favorite movies, but I always find about three quarters of the way into the movie, I don't know that I get like distracted and I just kind of tune out. But
yeah.
I still love the movie, but it's like one of those movies where it's like Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the whole thing like 20 times, but I think I've only seen mentally like the first three quarters of it. Like I tune out or something.
Yeah.
It's like my brain fries.
I remember the first time I watched it, just not knowing what the hell is going on. You
right.
know, I couldn't help, like, I was so into it because I'm like, I got to figure out what the hell is going on. You still, like, don't know. You got to put the pieces together at the end.
Yeah.
But, like, once you, like, watch a movie, you know what's going on, it's easy to just kind of tune out. Like, oh, that's happening now, you know, like, pick up my phone, see what's going on.
So do you know what's in the suitcase? Was it his soul?
I'd say it was a Royale of cheese.
Okay. I'm curious, you didn't really mention any like rock and roll bands per se. Do you have a love for any alt rock or 80s rock, 90s rock bands?
Yeah. I like, I never know how to pronounce it, but Jack White's band, The Raconteurs. I really like them. Yeah. Let's see. Black Sabbath, I can get down with. Alice in Chains.
It's a very eclectic mix you got going on.
Yeah, I get down with some like early Pearl Jam, you know.
Any newer bands?
I guess I wouldn't say they're like rock, but I've been really getting into Alt-J lately. And they started in like 2013. And they're all over the place, lyrically and musically. And I love things that are unpredictable. Like movies, I love, like, and I don't know what's happening next. Or musically, I love when, like, you know, like the first song might be like a rock song and the second song's like, you know, some like jazz song. You just don't know what's coming next. And that's the philosophy I took with my album Cardinal Pursuit, is I wanted like you not to know what the next song was going to sound like.
Right. That becomes like a really cool angle. Mm-hmm. And it allows you to express yourself in different ways.
My original stuff, like, I take it seriously, but like I don't have like any huge ambitions coming out of it. I just want it to be there. You know, I put a lot of work into it and want to make sure it's at the highest quality that I can afford. But like I never really promoted Cardinal Pursuit a lot. I just kind of wanted it to be there and have somebody maybe come across it.
Yeah. You know? Cardinal Pursuit is really, really good. If you haven't checked it out, it's on Spotify, The Cardinal Pursuit, like the bird. We're going to talk about The Cardinal Pursuit. You're going to play a song for us as well. Mm-hmm. But let's start with the name. Where did the name The Cardinal Pursuit come from?
Well, first off, if you look up Cooper Wade on any, you know, like music streaming service or anything, it's going to come up with Cooper Wade, the country singer, who's a great guy. We've been in contact, and I want to do go down to Texas and do a Cooper Wade squared duo.
You know,
Cooper
Wade. So good. Do you think he'd be open to it?
Oh, definitely. He's a really cool guy, actually. From the times I've like spoken with him over like social media and stuff. But so like I figured, you know, I can't, you know, release my music under my name. So I released an EP back in 2019. It was called Cooper's Wade. It's my name with an S at the end.
Right.
But then, you know, my grandparents always like, well, my great grandmother always believed she'd be like reincarnated as a cardinal. So that I guess that kind of had
heard
some,
that actually.
Yeah. So that always just kind of had some sort of, I guess, subconscious meaning to me.
Cardinals are songbirds.
Yeah. And they're lovebirds too. They, you know, they're monogamous for the most part. And they're pretty birds too. So, you know, I just like, it just came to me, you know, Cardinal Pursuit, and nobody had the name. And it would be cool, like, as like an album cover too.
It is. It kind of harkens to, there are definitely Steely Dan vibes in there. Mm-hmm. Definitely Mr. Bungle's California. Did you check any of that out?
No, I haven't.
You have to. Like, I swear to God, you're going to listen to it and be like, he is my illegitimate father. For sure. Anyway, you're going to play a song for us. What song are we going to hear?
I'm going to play the song off the album called Maria.
Okay.
Driving to the southbound highway to find a world better than this. Driving down, I found a lady with shiny hair and bruises on her arms. What a feeling, and I can't stop. Feeling of feelings and raindrops. I drove to the side of the road and asked her for her name. Her name, no, I'll never forget. Something was not quite right about Maria. That's the lady saw in the daylight. Maria, that's the baby who chases the dragon at night. I just had to ask, what you doing, girl? Are you doing all right? She cried and said no. What even doing out here, sad and all alone? She says, I'm here for you, baby. She's trying to have a good time. I don't believe it. I think you're trying to get high. Oh, I why don't you just stop? It's harder than you think. She said it, and then leaves. Tell me how you feel. What a feeling in the midnight rain. How no longer feel all the pain. While later I woke up with the loftiest girl in my arms. Traumatized, I spoke up about the girl, the beautiful girl named Maria. That's the lady suffering in the daylight. Maria, that's the baby who died chasing the dragon at night. Hey!
Yeah, man.
Oh, hell yeah.
That was fantastic.
Thank you.
I just enjoyed like watching your fingers go, man. That's a track called Maria. Now, that is also on the Cardinal Pursuit record.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So with this particular project, who's all in the band? I know the track at the end we're going to hear features Jack Miller, Kevin Buckley, Dylan Graveris, Ryan Currier. But who else is on this particular record?
Yeah, so I actually prepared myself for the list here. So I do all the lead vocals and the bass and the rhythm guitar and the keyboards for everything in the album. But I have three different drummers on different tracks. So Dylan Graveris is on a couple tracks. My good friend Cameron Band's on a few. Kevin Buckley plays drums on two songs, and he also does the auxiliary percussion for all the songs.
Yeah.
And then Jack Miller plays lead guitar on, I believe, three of the songs.
Can you give me this list so I can tag all these people?
Yeah, I gotcha. And then Austin Colflesh plays lead guitar on two songs. And
he was in the Streams, wasn't he?
He was, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Long time ago.
Yeah, Dylan was too, actually.
Was he really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was there
first. Was that during like the Nick Ellison era? Or
yeah, pretty okay. Sure. Juanita Downing's on, she does some background vocals on a couple songs. Ryan Currier, who he did, the saxophone. He also mixed the whole album. Yeah. And then Evan Kornblum from, Stages did the mastering.
Now you're recording a lot of this in your garage. Have you been to any of like the studios in town, like mm-hmm, Josiah's?
Yeah.
And
yeah, I've been to all of them. This all started during 2020. And so I figured, you know, it would, in the end, you know, at the end of the day, be cheaper if I just like, you know, because I already had some good practical knowledge on like, you know, engineering and stuff. So I figured it'd just be cheaper if I just, also it's 2020, just like set stuff up in my garage and just record it there, you know, track by track. And
so what are you running?
I'm running it into Logic Pro.
Okay.
And when I recorded the first album, it was like pretty affordable setup. I had like just like XY SM58s as overheads and just one snare mic and a kick mic. That was it. Pretty simple. And then like a condenser mic for vocals. Pretty simple setup.
Yeah. It sounds really good.
Yeah, yeah.
But for just blowing smoke, it does sound really good.
Yeah, for what it was, you know, it was definitely a cool project for sure. And it definitely kept me busy, you know, during quarantine and all that.
So for you, what is your songwriting process? You start with the chords, you got lyrics, you get a concept in your head and then go with it?
Yeah, normally like I'll
watch a movie.
I'll have, you know, I'll just be jamming on guitar and have an idea. I'll be like, oh, that's cool. You know, I'll record it in my voice memos on my phone and maybe come back to it. Or if I'm just really inspired in the moment, I'll write a whole song. But really, it's just trying to keep things unpredictable and also matching the vibe. But it's always the music that comes first and the lyrics that come afterwards.
Okay.
You know, and then lyrically, mainly inspired by like Steely Dan, I try to keep things up to anybody's interpretation. I try not to keep it straightforward.
But it did feel like Maria had
Maria's more straightforward.
It was
for
a little
sure.
bit more storytelling than that one.
Yeah, Maria's more straightforward as far as how the story goes. But a lot of times, like, I might like add like I might like not add like certain punctuation on purpose, just so you could take any of the lines a certain way.
Okay. A little ambiguity.
Yeah. Like, for example, there's a pretty dark line I have in the song, Lost in the Summertime.
Well, there was one in Maria too, I thought.
Yeah. It's, well, all the songs are pretty dark, but,
I love that.
But it has like an upbeat vibe. Right. You know? It's like almost like, sarcastic. That's how Steely Dan does the same thing. Maria was inspired by their song Time Out of Mind, which is a real upbeat song, but it's literally about doing heroin. But, there's one line in, my song Lost in the Summertime where and there's no punctuation. So it just says, and your dead son and I have gone insane. But how do you know, like, are you talking about their dead son? Or are you calling them son? You know, and your dead son and I have gone insane. You know what I mean? It could be up to your own interpretation.
And that's when you look into the mirror and decide who you are.
Right.
In all of this. And we are going to hear In the Mirror at the end of the show here. So anything you want to tell us about this particular track?
So actually, this was... The song, the melody for the song is actually inspired by a Hall & Oates song. And I think it's called I'm Just a Kid off of their Abandoned Luncheonette album. And literally the opening, like there's one line in that he just goes like, and don't you go looking at me like that. And I'm like, I'm going to turn that in my own song.
That was it.
That was it. Yeah.
In the mirror. So it does sound like a rather self-reflective track. Is that fair to say?
No, actually, none of them are self-reflective. They're all just based off of...
See, I got it like that, who are you line, like, as if the person looking in the mirror was like...
Yeah, that was mainly inspired by, like, people who, like, you know, look in the mirror and, like, maybe, like, don't see themselves, or maybe they see themselves as, like, as fat, or they're really not, and, like, you know, it's almost like a mental disease. It's just inspired by, like, people who think that way. I don't think that way.
Body dysmorphia?
Yeah.
All right, so what's next for Cooper Wade? What do you got next? You got a music video coming? I think a Cooper Wade music video would be great because the music is visual. You know, like you said that, you know, you are motivated by the movies. You could make your own video, like movie for a video.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, like they're all stories, but I think what I'd do if I made a music video is I'd make it not related to the story at all. And it's just kind of like a...
So really throw people off.
Yeah, Alt-J does that. They'll like... Like, they tell stories with their songs, but their music video is just, like, maybe somebody just, like, dislocating their arms.
Right. Well, I appreciate you coming on to the show today. I know you got to get out of here and get set up at Schaefer's, was it?
Schaefer's Canal House, yeah.
Schaefer's Canal House down in Chesapeake City. By the time this airs, you will have already performed, but you're going to be at Fager's Island tomorrow.
Yeah.
So if you're down in Ocean City, check Cooper Wade out. Mm-hmm. Is it the whole band down there?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, man. Well, this is called In the Mirror.
Yourself. Who are you? Treat me like
All right. We're back on the Mouthful of Graffiti podcast because we realized we didn't have enough content yet. So, Cooper, you have something that you want to say.
Yes, I wanted to wait until the podcast until I told you this, but we actually met each other before Vagabond.
Do tell.
Yeah, so this was a couple years ago when you really started doing the podcast. And you had like maybe like just like two or three episodes out or something like okay. that. And we were friends on Facebook. I don't know like through who, probably just through mutual friends.
Okay.
But like, so I was aware of the podcast. I saw a couple of the episodes and like, you know, I knew how, like what you looked like through the, right. through Facebook. And, I walked into M&T Bank one time and you were wearing the shirt. I'm like, oh my God, that's the guy. So like, and you know, it's like, you know, it's M&T
Bank. I was wearing the mock shirt.
Yeah, you were.
Okay, so I wasn't working there because I used to work there.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
You were like waiting in line there or something. And I was like, oh, that's the guy, you know. And it's like I didn't want to like, you know, just like spark conversation in like a quiet bank. So I came up to you. I was like, hey, I just want to let you know you're doing great work on the podcast. I love it. And you were like, oh, thanks, man. I just walked away. Didn't even introduce myself.
I thought you were going to tell me about like I used to sell home equity lines of credit and life insurance. I thought maybe like you came in to open an account.
No, you were just
not
waiting.
That you just tapped me on the shoulder and left a weird message in my ear and walked
like,
away.
I was like, hey, you're doing great work, man. And you're like, oh, thank you. And you're like waiting for me to say more. And I just walked away.